to episode 71 of Role Play Grow, the podcast for tabletop entrepreneurs, creators, and fans. I am Courtney Stover of Lighthearted Adventures, and in this podcast, we talk to the creators behind the brands and the tabletop roleplay gaming space about who they are and how they are turning their passion for gaming into a career. Guess what? Jay and Grub from Possum Creek Games are back. I am super stoked to have my first repeat guest on the show from all the way back in episode 13. It has been 2 years, y'all, since they came on. If you're not familiar with Possum Creek Games, then you might have heard of a little game called Wander Home that kickstarted during the height of COVID. I interviewed Jay and Grub both on my blog before this podcast even started and on the show about Wander Home, and now today we are talking about their latest game, Gazeba's Bed and Breakfast. Gazeba's just came out on PDF and with their super cool virtual tabletop One More Multiverse, so it was pretty fitting to bring them back on to talk about how the last 2 years have gone. When I interviewed them after Wander Home, it was literally like hours after they had released the PDF. This time I gave them like 4 days. If you've been for the show for a while, then you know that I just adore these two so much. And I've had a lot of guests from Possum Creek come on the show over the last 2 years. If, however, this is your first time tuning in to Role Play Grow, I want to give you guys a special welcome. This podcast is a part of Lighthearted Adventures, which is a small company I co-founded with my husband. We do blogs, one-shots, and maps that you'll find over on our website, lightheartadventures.com. This show allows me to chat with so many amazing folks about business, marketing, hardships, lesson learns, how-to guides, across a wide spectrum of industries within the TTRPG scene. If that sounds like a show for you, then be sure to subscribe to Role Play Grow on your favorite podcast player. Lastly, before we get started, I do want to shout out one of our favorite dice companies, Dice Envy. My very first interview on this show was with David Darris, the founder of Dice Envy, and we've gotten a lot of different dice sets from them over the years. I would definitely recommend you check them out. They've got dice in all sorts of materials, wood, metal, resin. They've got chunky D20s, really cool shapes for their D4s. They're just a lot of fun. We are affiliates with them, so if you go to diceenv.com and use the code LIGHTHEART, A-D-V, you'll get 10% off your order, have some snazzy dice, and help support this show. Thanks for hanging out, and enjoy this chat with Jay and Grub. I am joined by my very first repeat guests, Jay and Ruby from Possum Creek Games. Hi, friends. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hi. It's good
to see you.
It is really good.
I know.
It feels very apt.
Yeah, it's kind of becoming a tradition. So basically, every time you get to, like, the PDF is out for a big project, just let me know and we'll make it work.
Yeah, this time it's been, what, like 4 days instead of, like, 2 hours?
So we're definitely a little bit more composed.
I'm still having trouble with words.
Like, the thing is that, like, if we had done this on the day the Gazeba's Ben Buckley PDF dropped, I think Grubby would be, like, not, like last time she was an emotional wreck, this time she would just be, like a mumbling corpse. And I would be distracted the whole time by checking to see what people were saying on Twitter. Whereas, 4 days out, we've both regained enough human, like, enough human qualities.
A little bit of human.
Yeah, so we can convincingly portray humanity to the people.
My skin suit is healing.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's like, I feel like that one myth about, like, the rhino took off his skin to, like, go bathing, and then in that time, someone put a bunch of sand in the skin, so it was really uncomfortable, and, like, the rhino had to put the skin on inside out, which is why it's all wrinkly and weird.
I haven't heard that one, but sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a Just So story, and I think that happened to my skin suit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Someone just sanded it when I took it off to bathe. That's all wrinkly and weird, but I'm here.
And now your skin's inside out. It's fine.
My skin's inside out. Y'all can't see the video at home, but let me tell you, it's gory and horrific. It's a scary thing that we see on camera.
So I was literally, like, looking up earlier because it was like, putting notes together and being like, all right, so the last time that we did this was episode 13. Wow. When was that? April 2021. Holy shit, it has been 2 years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's been a full solid 2 years too. Like, we're recording this at the end of March 2023. And so, like, yeah, it's been a clean 3 years. Two years.
Who can tell?
Who can tell? Three is just like the knockoff two. can afford the OG two. But yeah, we're here. We've made it cycle back around, all of us, emotionally. Yeah.
Listeners, if you haven't listened to the first episode with Jay and Ruby, and you're like, what the hell are they talking about? So basically, back in 2021, they released Wander Home, and I brought them on after the first, or like the day that the PDF released.
Day of.
Yeah.
Like, hours. There was like conversation about, I hope that y'all get like the sushi. Like, I remember us talking about.
Yeah. We did get sushi last time. Yeah. I think we were eating it on stream. Yeah.
I believe we each ordered a 2-person platter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deserved. Mm-hmm. And we're back 4 days after Yazeba's is now out in PDF form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how are you feeling about the whole journey?
Well, Jay is going to talk about this, but like the crazy part about Wander Home and Yazeba's is that a little known fact, or maybe well known, I don't know, is that Wander Home was made as like a break for Yazeba's. Like, Yazeba started in a fall of 2019, and now here we are, spring of 2023, and it's just been released. And like Wander Home, literally, like, our M, the co-writer, or one of the co-writers for Yazeba's, was like, we both need to take a break. And Jay was like, yes, I know how to take a break from work. I will simply write an entire another game and then produce it, and it will change my whole life. So, like, it's not even that a different project is done. It's just that, like, the rubber band ball that is our horrible little lives is, I don't know, big, small?
Yeah. It's very much a feeling of, like, I think, like, right at the end of 2020, like when we first finished when we first started on Wander Home, we created like a 5-year plan, basically. Or like talked through what like the next few years at Possum Creek would be like.
I mean, I feel like a couple times a year, Jay writes down on a notebook our 5-year plan, and then we both forget it.
I don't forget it. I'll have it just really slowly because it's our 5-year plan. But the thing about our 5-year plan, Grubby, is that it doesn't go past like 2024, 2025, like ever.
Correct. Like, yes.
As we get closer to that, we don't make new things past that.
No.
So our 5-year plan is like we are just simply fulfilling the thing that we started doing at the start of Wander Home.
Yeah.
But you know, we're here. We're making it. Now lying down on my bed like I'm like a girl at a sleepover, and that's fine. You can't see
I
the video.
I lay on my bed and like just talk. It like is that.
Right? Yeah. Like kick my legs up. Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, this is a very cyclical process, and it's very much a like Wander Home was a sub process of the larger thing that was making Yazeba's. Wander Home was the like, well, we got to make something first, almost.
But like an enormous sub process, and now the larger process has, well, it's still working.
Yeah, and we're not done with Yazeba's Bed and Breakfast.
Not even close.
You know, not until the print edition comes out at the end of the year, and then hopefully we'll be actually done with the process.
Just in time to start something else.
Actually, probably yes, but like there is stuff that Jay just doesn't tell me for my like my tiny little brain. Like, I probably have done this before. I describe her a lot as like a cartoon train going off the cliff, and you have to build the tracks underneath it so you don't fall. And sometimes she just like doesn't tell me where the train is going so that I don't like freak out.
If I told you, you'd get like.
I know.
Stressed out about the future, and so I just very quietly continue to work on a Wander Home experience. again.
I just look away from the Google Docs that I don't recognize in the recent.
Exactly. You just don't worry when I start making new Google Docs or folders in the team drive or what have you.
That sign can't stop me because I can't read.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you won't read it. It's fine. We'll talk about it. I'll tell you about it when it matters for the work you do.
So yeah, like, certainly something will happen in the winter, but unfortunately we cannot talk about it because it is unknowable to me.
Oh yeah, we don't have we can't do like a release announcement. What do you call it? Like we can't do Nintendo Direct because if the co-owner of the company sees the
take psychic damage. Yeah. You could talk about it if I leave this interview.
I will say that, like, we will not do something the size of Yuzeba's bed and breakfast.
For a long, long time. Or maybe ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
too big.
It's too big. It's, and like, I say that, and then people laugh, and like, huh, until your next project. I'm like, no. This was like... Yuzeba's bed and breakfast is longer than at least 2 D&D manuals put together. Right, like if you took the player's handbook and the monster manual and you slapped them together, Yuzeba's is longer than that. I don't think it's longer than all 3 put together, but like longer than any 2 put together. And there's more art assets than any 2 put together.
It's not even the length, it's the like, when we did Wonder Home, we were like, we'll definitely cut down the team for the next one. And we did by like a couple people, but like the amount of art assets and then the multiverse stuff. And then like, we also have a soundtrack and we have a box set. And we have, like, merch.
But, like, even just the PDF, stripped of all of its outside context...
is also huge, yes.
The PDF is larger than...
it's fucking enormous.
Like, because, like, thinking about Yuzeba's, it just has all these, like, little illustrations and, like, cute little things and, like, characters and setups and things that, like, weren't art. And so it's just a... and, like... writing wise, it's a very tangled, complicated book. Like, we were, I think, at one point in editing, and we found a chapter from that was written in early 2020. Like, it just had straight up been 2 years where no one had like given that chapter the time of day, right? And we're like, oh my god, we had to like go in there and clean it up and like rewrite it into standards. But it was like cool. And that's like, that's the book. It's just like this thing that was like, kind of like, it was like Em and I together letting this thing grow and grow and grow and weave itself. And then like at the end of the process, being like, we have this like impossible woven object. What do we do with it? Right. Like, how do we like, you know, we've just been building it up and building it up with kind of like, in Em's head, at least, like, she was never, like, it didn't occur to her that we would be selling it, and so she was just kind of like, yeah, we'll just, like, every time
I'll just make chapters every time I think of a funny joke.
Yeah, exactly. And so the next, we have 48 chapters. Well, okay. Okay.
There was one point, like, probably 2 years ago, where Jay was like, okay, I think we're done writing chapters, lie. But, like, layout-wise, like, we have to, they're all in, like, separate Google Docs, and we have to, like, consolidate them into one so that you can lay them out. And I was like, you cannot do that because importing all of that text into one file will just crash my whole computer. Like, you have to leave them separate. Like, we still don't know how long Yuzeba's is because it cannot exist in one coherent document. Like, we don't know the word count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a 500 page PDF and then an envelope full of more things. That's like another, I'd say like 6 or 7 pages. And then like something printed on the inside of the dust jacket. Oh, right. Sorry. I can't talk about that one. Yeah. So just strange object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Britton and I were looking through it yesterday and being like, all right, you know, they said 500 pages. Like, man, I can't even imagine how Ruby must have felt like with all of that. And then just looking at the table of contents.
The 4-page table of contents in like 10 point. And also like when we did the table of contents like pretty late because of all the secret chapters that are unnumbered. So we put it in, you know, all the headers and shit. And I was like, okay, which of these headers can I cut? Because we need to cut like 15 of them. And Jay was like,
I was like, can't we do this in like two column? And then you pulled up one of a kind metaclonomatic, I think was the chapter you pointed at. We're like,
and I was like, no, it cannot be in two columns. The chapter title jokes are too long. I think that's the longest one. There's another really long one. Hey, well, Kid, yeah. Surprising.
The longest. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I think the longest night of the year is the other really long one.
No, that's not really long. THEM, the huge enormous monster, is pretty long.
Oh yeah.
Terrarial angel of the waters of the earth, pretty long.
Yep, yep, yep.
That's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
Oh, Magus Liliana Quicksilver Dabrowski, you're a criminal. You should be jailed. No carceral punishment except for J-Dragon.
The rabbits of the garden who wear little outfits. Yeah, there's a few. There's a few.
Those of you not on camera, Grub may have definitely just flicked Jay off.
That's all really.
I would never do that. I would never do that.
What point did Lily and Mercedes join?
So Lily and Mercedes joined at the start of 2021. So by that point, Em and I had figured out kind of the core pitch and like had written, I'd say, like a third of the chapters that needed writing, maybe a little closer to half. And there's this sense of like, we cannot make it to our goals of this text. First off, like being aware of like, there are certain ways in which we just cannot like make it, like there's just like this text cannot make it to the finish line in its current shape. Additionally, like we're both white and like having perspectives that are not ours would be like really valuable to the text as a whole. And like, it really was like, there are certain characters who like improved massively due to like the contributions of like Lily and Mercedes as people of color. Like that was very important to us. And also just like, the text needed, I think, some fresh ideas. It needed some, like, new perspectives, like, just in general. Like, Em and I both grew up within 30 minutes of each other in the same small, like, New York towns.
Okay, you're both two white, fat trans femmes who were raised by the same summer camp.
Yes.
Like, you're...
Our worldviews are, like...
Very similar.
Overlapping frequently in a way that, like, I think means that, like, if you leave the two of us to our own devices, we'll just kind of be like endlessly insular in a way that doesn't necessarily make like a good articulation of the goals of the game.
Yeah. Like a book that says room for everyone on the front.
Yeah. But like,
is like room for Jamie and Em.
Yes, exactly. There's so many examples of like throughout the process, like of like moments in Em and I were like, oh God, like I think it was when we first tried to write the beach episode, it was like predominantly about like one of the main characters just getting really stressed out about being on the beach and how like we're like, that's just not it. That's just wrong.
It's not how most people feel about the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Most people enjoy the beach. And Em was like legitimately stunned by that revelation.
Yeah, Em was literally like, I don't understand why this would not be a frantic chapter. I think it still is a frantic chapter. I mean, no, it's an everything chapter.
Relaxed. Day at the beach is relaxed. Good. But so yes, as it should be, it is ideally relaxing. Lily and Mercedes are both, they joined in early 2021 and then they kind of took on a lot of characterization stuff. They wrote a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they wrote, you know, kind of a chunk of the chapters and they, you know, made some guests and really kind of, I think, brought a much valuable kind of breath of fresh air to the entire writing process.
Yeah. I remember talking to them like right before the campaign went live.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like really cool just being able to hear like their perspective of working with you guys and the way that they got to work on like some of the mechanics, I think, especially with Mercedes.
Mm-hmm. Of the two of them, Mercedes has a game design background and they brought some really interesting kind of mechanical ideas to a lot of the chapters that I really enjoy. They like A Witch's Old Hostel has some really interesting, like, this kind of, like, almost like a emergent house structure that kind of comes out of, like, as you explore around and you, like, poke at these different piles of cards, it, like, builds up this whole house for you that's really interesting.
Yeah. Witch's Old Hostel is, like, you pick cards and then, like, anytime a card flips, you something happens. but like together all the, I don't know how many cards are in a suit, 13, like all 13 of them create like a full fictional description of the room you're in, but like you will never draw all 13 of them. So there's like some overlap and there's like some individual stuff. That, anyway, yeah.
It's a really interesting.
Mercedes is a genius.
Grubb got to get to know all the chapters over the...
In the last 2 months, yeah.
A lot of them have a very quirky little... Like, that one in particular, I know, like, you had to do a lot of, like, fitting each set of card descriptions onto a page, and, like, there are other chapters where it's, like...
You some had of
to,
them I have read very thoroughly.
I'm curious on, like, from the experiences that y'all got from, like, doing Wanderholm... And honestly, even some of the, like, the smaller crowdfunded stuff since then, I know have not necessarily been like headlines written by you, but still produced by you. And then like bringing that into Yazeba's, like, what is it that you've maybe like learned or decided like, oh, we should definitely do this in the future or definitely not do that in the future?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to think of specifics, but like, as you know, Wanderholm was as like babies, didn't know shit about shit. And like every project since then, we've been like so much more on top of it. But like Jay has really come into her project manager own.
Yeah, and I think like I've come into my own a lot as project manager. I think Grubby has like you've gotten really kind of just into the swing of the process. Like I think you have like a very strong understanding of like what. I don't know, like both as art director and like kind of when you take on this whole layout gremlin force, like you channel that.
InDesign is my bitch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like the things you can do with InDesign make like lesser people quail. I think in 2021, towards the end of the year, I stepped away from the creative part of Yazeba's. Like I kind of delegated that to other people and took on the project management part of it full time, and like that was just my full time job for like 4 months was like project management, and like has continued to kind of just be my main responsibility with the project, which is a really different relationship with the text
and your own work.
Yeah, exactly. Like I, you know, like there are things which I have to read because I just never read that part of the game. Like it was just written after I was involved, which is a really kind of strange feeling, but also like. I think ultimately a very healthy one. And it's like, I, you know, like with Wanderholm, it's like, that is my baby. I was kind of holding its hand every step of the way. With Yazeba's, it's like, I'm like.
Your stuff that spirals out that's not yours. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, there's a lot of parts where it's like, I'm trusting Em, I'm trusting other people on the team to make these creative calls because I need to focus on the work part of it, the business side. I think like Wanderholm was like our little work of art in our like little corner of the world. And Yazeba's is like our job, you know, like, it's a beautiful work of art, but like that's because we make beautiful works of art for a living, right? Like for Grubby and I think we both feel that it was much more of a like a daily job that we are passionate about rather than like a magical work.
An actual passion project. I mean, we're passionate about, you know what I mean.
We're passionate, but it's a different sort of passion.
I was talking to Aster about, so like I was in crunch for the end of Yazeba's, which we obviously try not to do, but like life and shit really, really beat me up the last 6 months. So I was in crunch and I was talking to Aster, our concept designer, and also my bestie, our concept artist, about like, oh, I just feel so like frustrated because like I'm supposed to be making like my second magnum opus and like it's supposed to be like perfect and beautiful in every way. And I just can't because I like don't have the time or bandwidth or resources or whatever. And he was like, babe, that's how everyone makes art. Like Wanderholm was like a very special little bubble that you had. Pandemic was really, 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 like deep quarantine was really, really bad. But like I lived in like a beautiful little house with like some of my favorite people and, you know, just worked on my beautiful little furry game all day. It was nice. And Yazeba's is like more of the real world for me. And it is brutal. And I just like, whatever, didn't my dumb little mind. I was like, oh, I forgot that everyone makes art under duress. And like, you can't always make a perfect little thing. Not that Yazeba's isn't perfect in every way. That's not what I'm saying. I would never say that.
I think that Yazeba's makes it like I've got a gun to your head off camera.
I'm actually pointing a gun at the audience.
Like, oh, yes, of course.
I dare you.
Yeah, like Yazeba's is very beautiful, but it is the product of like Grubby and I putting years of work into it. The, like, Wander Home was made by, like, two artists goofing off almost effectively. Like, we were working, but, like, what it meant to work at that point in our careers is really different than it means now, where it's, like, I have a schedule for the day, and, like, Yuzabas is part of that. It's one of my many responsibilities. It's a different feeling. It's just a different relationship with the text and with the art and, like, with being creatives.
Yeah, I will say the main thing I think we've learned with all of our little releases in the last couple of years is that Yuzabas 500-page monster aside is we're always like, we should make this smaller. This should be as small as possible. We should do exactly what we need to make it beautiful and good, and then we should stop for everybody's sake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are, you know, middling results on that one.
Yeah. When we do small Kickstarters, we like don't do stretch goals. We're just like, here's the thing. We'll make it. If you really like it, yeah, you know, you should buy it. We try to just give it what it is. And I think we've learned a lot since, like, I don't know, Wander Home, there were moments where it's like we overpromised. I think Yuzabas, we didn't overpromise. It's just we made a really big thing, which is, I think, a different situation to be in.
God, I mean, there's like a lot of merch in addition to the book. Yeah.
There's so much merch. There's a plushie.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hey, entrepreneurs. I love introducing you to new creators every episode, but I could really use your support. I would love to invite you to join our Patreon page, where you'll gain access to behind-the-scenes content, add your questions to upcoming interviews, and you could even receive a shout-out on our site in an upcoming episode. To learn more, go to lightheartadventures.com/RPG. And now, back to the show. And also, one more multiverse. Like, I want to definitely talk about that, because it's really cool. But also, like, it is wild that you had that release at the same time as the PDF.
Yeah.
I mean, it was honestly, they are more real than us. There are more people on their team who work like full time than us. And so they were like, we will be ready this day. Will you be ready this day? And I was like, yes, I can be ready that day. Like, multiverse is amazing, but thank God they were like pretty much entirely separate from our team.
Yeah.
So they could just do that huge thing. And we were just like, hee hee, what a cute gift you sent me today. Nice progress, everyone.
Yeah, they'd be like, today we did the sprites for every single guest. And I'd be like, yeah.
That's so cool.
And they're like, do you have any feedback? And I was like, why would I? What more? You did the sprites for every single guest. What more could I possibly say to that?
Yeah. And like, thank God, because if we had been like more in charge of that, Yuzabas be coming out 5 years from now. Whole yeah. 5 year plan, make video game.
We handed them the complete text. I think like they, when we first did the project, we were like showing them the incomplete stuff, and then like they're like, all right, time for us to buckle down. And we're like, yep, here's just the raw text in Google Doc form. And they just took it and they just made the thing, and then we made the PDF, and then we came back together and we're like, we're glad these two things look like each other. But it was an intentional thing to do the release at the same time. Part of the deal we made with One More Multiverse is effectively like we want part of the thing that makes, I think, like Yuzabas work as an online product is like we're not just releasing a PDF, right? We're not just being yeah. like, oh, you know, like you can get Yuzabas as a PDF. Oh, and by the way, here's a whole VGT. It's like, no. When you play Yuzabas online, here is the toolkit we're giving you to do that, right? Like it is a coherent whole that is the PDF and the virtual tabletop. And that is like, that's what you need to play Yuzabas online. And like, you don't have to use One More Multiverse to play Yuzabas online, but like,
You should.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
It'll make it way easier. I promise you. Like, I don't care if you're like, oh, I've never played a game with pixel sprites before. I'm like, I managed to play it with Steve Jackson, who's like a 65-year-old dude who spent like 15 minutes struggling to get Discord to connect to One More Multiverse. Like, you'll be good. You'll have a fun time of it. Once the Discord, that was the hardest part of the whole process. And once he got into it, he was into it. But like, it's, I think like, we wanted to do it as a coherent whole because Yuzabas is such a tactile game. So it was important to us that like, this is the full project as an object, right? This is the whole thing coherently.
Yeah, like I was just playing through the tutorial because so I have a 500-page book that I got to get through reading. And it really was like super helpful because, like, I mean, back what, a year-ish ago, whenever your campaign was,
like almost exactly a year,
yeah. But like the podcast release with the different chapters that you guys like kind of gave us a little preview on, you know, listening to that and trying to follow it, I was like, okay, I mean, the story was just like fabulous. And
yeah, but the mechanics are iffy if you don't like really. Yeah.
So just like not being as familiar with it, like listening to it, like, okay, I mean, like I get the whoopsies, like that makes sense. And like bingo, I was like, okay. But then like just having even the tutorial of like, all right, like here's like where you put these things. And like.
And also like Yuzeba's is tricky because like, one of the big things about it is that, like, the mechanics are not the heart of the game, right? Like, the mechanics kind of swap in and out based on what chapter you pick up. So, like, it's the sort of thing where, like, there are many ways a VTT could fail to be a good Yuzeba's, right? Like, it'd be very easy to build a thing that, like, is either too structured or, like, not structured enough. Like, it's hard to find that right balance. And, like, I think even that shows through the podcast, which is a phenomenal podcast. Jeff Starman did an amazing job. And like we said in the podcast, like when we were in the back end, because I was there for every single podcast recording, like on call for like rules stuff, basically. And what I said was that like, hey, the goal of this is not to show off mechanics. And like part of that was just the knowledge that like we are playing this over a recording and like Google Docs are the character sheets and you cannot accurately capture what it's like to play Yuzeba's in that context. That will not give people a good sense of the mechanics. So let's not stress about the mechanics. Let's focus on the characters because those are more important. Like I care more about people listening to the podcast being like, I know who Parrish is, than I do about them listening to the podcast being like, I know how to play the relaxed mood, right? Like I'm trusting that one royalty voice can deliver that information and I'm not as worried about, but like making sure they know who Parrish is was really the important part to me.
He can hop. He hops in multiverse.
He does. He does hop in multiverse.
He hops.
He hops. He bounces.
Oh my gosh.
I was playing adventuring recently, and she has a delightful little hop. She's like a not a hop, but like a wobble to her because her sprite is so long. So like she kind of moves like a boat rocking back and forth that I find really enjoyable.
I love her so much. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. How did the partnership with One More Multiverse come to be?
So I was meeting with my friend Janie, who coincidentally, we know each other through RPGs, and she also happens to have like relatives in upstate New York. So we were getting like dinner together several years ago. And she just started working at this like new company and was telling me all about like the VTT stuff she'd been up to. And we were like kind of going back and forth. And I was telling her about Yuzeba's and we were talking about like, oh, Yuzeba's is so cool. And like, oh my God, you know, like it's going to be such a pain to implement digitally. And she was like, this would be how I would do it if I was, and we were kind of bouncing ideas back and forth. And towards the end of it, I was like, hey, can you like put me in contact with like the company? And she's like, yeah, let me get that for you. And we, you know, we met with the CEO, One More Multiverse, and we gave him the pitch. And we were like, this is what we're looking to do. Like, this is what we're looking for your support. We kind of hashed it out. One More Multiverse is like a newish company. And so there's a lot of kind of growth and direction as they're kind of trying to find their place exactly. And so like there was a lot of like bouncing around as like they're figuring out like kind of exactly what this project would look like. It did like end up, I think there was a lot of coincidence involved in the whole process. And I think that it was very much One More Multiverse trying something new. And I think that like, we're very fortunate and lucky that it kind of came together, but I think it was definitely like maybe more of like a logistical hurdle than what they anticipate. Like I think they definitely like, I get a little bit of sense that there's a slight bit biting off more than they can chew, which like is legitimate. Like they made a beautiful, intricate
which,
thing.
Which like same, absolutely yeah, same.
But also bit off more than we can with this project. You know, we learned a lot from it and we're going to continue to do stuff together. It's just like, it might not be in the shape of like the enormity that is Yuzeba's. It was very much a kind of a connection of circumstance. And so, you know, like, but I think like that's oftentimes how stuff works out, especially in business where it's just like, I connected with the right person. We, you know, were hanging out as friends. We realized this kind of other connection. We pursued it. I was dogged about it. I really felt that it was very important that Yazebas have some kind of digital support, both because this was in the middle of the pandemic, right? So people are playing online more than they ever were before. And we knew we needed something for Yazebas, that even if it wasn't from the multiverse, that there would be something that people could use to play online well. That was really important from the get-go. And then additionally, I really felt like when the multiverse was like the correct solution, like when I got to play in it, I was like, oh my God, this is like a dollhouse. This is like a LARP. This is like a different experience than most VTTs. And like in a way that I think can be a little startling for people who are maybe like mm-hmm. not used to this new style of play that is presented here, but it's really interesting and exciting to me as someone who like loved to LARP when I was younger. And like the feeling of like, I've got my little paper dolls and they're moving around a simulated environment. And like, I can like pick up a cabbage and like know that the cabbage is like this physical object that is present in the story we're telling. And like, there's something very nice about that in a way you don't get when you're just doing like, kind of describing endlessly the theater of the mind. So it's like a really special thing that we've gotten to make.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Eva just a little bit that I did where as I was playing around and wandering through the house, it was like, I just felt like I had so much more control than I do in any other VTT. Like it felt more like mm-hmm, a video mm-hmm. game, but a video game that I get to like tell my own story.
There's a lot of things about it that are like very delightful. Like there's like this kind of joke that like the first 30 minutes of new people playing OMM like are going to be spent like shape-shifting into various animals, like placing weird objects around the house. Cause like, it's fun. Like it just like, it's a thing they've had to like work very hard to solve with Dungeons and Dragons. Like with Dungeons and Dragons, they've had to like put all these controls on the players where it's like, you can't break the serious mood the GM is trying to cultivate or whatever. Whereas in Yazebas, it's like, turn into a crab. Like, why not, right? Make Hey Kid big and upside down and transparent. What's the harm, right? Like, that would happen in Yazebas. So like, there's this like sense of freedom and joy that comes from being handed what like feels at times just like the back end, like God mode in The Sims, you know, like this kind of, like insane full back end of resources and just like go forth, play the game, be silly and goofy with it, whatever. That's Yazebas, right? Like I was doing a chapter where we were in the basement and we were hearing a thumping noise and we were like, is that a monster or is that the water cooler? And so I searched up monster in the assets and pulled like an ogre from Dungeons and Dragons and like put it down in the middle of the basement. And we were all like, oh yeah, that's a big old water heater. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, so you got connected through this like wild happenstance, honestly.
Classic RPGs. Like.
Classic. Well, everything in RPGs happens because of happenstance. Happenstance and uh-huh. like... happening, coincidence of being knowing the right person in the right location at the right time. It's all luck based. Yeah,
I guess like a lot of industries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So got connected, and then I'm sure there was a little bit more. And like, I guess, how did you communicate like the vision that you have, so that you could get to the point that you're like, all right, here's the text. Have fun, like.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of that was that my friend Janie was chosen as the head engineer for the project. So they had a team of people who knew story games, who knew Yazebas. Janie and I could just sit down and talk it out. People working at Multiverse would keep coming up with reasons to like work on Yazebas instead of like whatever other projects were going on. So, oh, let me just, you know, get over, you know, like, oh, I can make some assets for Yazebas. Like, sure, that's fine. Let me just, like, everyone just really wanted to be making things for Yazebas because it's just like, it was just so much fun to like create stuff for. And we just like, I think with Jenny, we like sat down and we like, I know there's like a Google Doc that's just all of the locations referenced in the game tab.
Yeah.
And at one point, Meg, who is the art director for Yazebas and like a lot of the level design, she went through the whole game and every time there was a location mentioned, like would look for details about that location. And so there's like all these maps that have these like little details that like, I threw in as like a joke line, right? Or like a writer put in as like an offhanded like, oh yeah, that's probably what it's like. And then Meg studiously found that and then brought that into the game. And so like there was a lot of just like a lot of like enthusiasm and care and trust that they put into it to like really be able to kind of like, and like, you know, kind of a lot of iterative, like, you know, early on it was like, all right, let's figure out what are the kind of, you know, what is Yuzeba's doing mechanically? What do we need to focus on? What do we need to prioritize? A lot of like identifying scope and figuring out like what's the actual focus of the project and like things like that. That was kind of a lot of meetings over the course of 2022, I think.
It's also like because Yuzeba's like working on like was not really work for us. It was just like a fun little bonus where they made silly mm-hmm. little drawings of our silly little things. Mm-hmm. And for them, it was like, I guess, a fun project. So like we were just all, they threw everybody in a Discord together and mm-hmm. they would be like, or like Meg would be like, I'm going to be designing some levels today. You guys want to hop in? And she would be like, all right, what floors do we like for the B&B? And me and Jamie would be like, interesting question. I like this white oak or whatever. Cause we're just like, hee hee, our dollhouse. And yeah. Meg is like, hee hee, their dollhouse. Or like at one point, like they were finalizing all the sprites for everybody and they made a chart, I think in ranging from like microscopic to like big, huge. And they were like, put all the guests in their size sections.
So we like went through and we're like, I reckon that this character is this tall, or like
this one is taller than Yuzeba. This one is shorter than
one's kid size.
All the like residents have like several different outfits, you know, for seasons and events and shit. And so they were like, do you guys have any idea, like any like offhanded thoughts about what these outfits might be? And I was like, I am going to make a Pinterest board for every single character's wardrobe. And then they just, like, made, you know, my favorite dress for Yuzeba, like,
mm-hmm.
Gertrude's fancy dress, which, like, I actually really, really love the one in the book, which Marjulia designed, but that was after. So the one in Multiverse is fucking the original dress that Cinderella's, like, mice and shit make her in the Disney cartoon, which has lived in my brain since I was a small girl child. And I was like, it should be like this. And they just made exactly that. Cause like, yeah. So I think a lot of the communication was that we all found it very fun. And we were like, this is how everything should be.
Just a big old Discord where like everything from like tech support issues to like funny little outfits was just kind of all popping around. And it was great. Cause like Multiverse would just have like, it would just be like all of their people and people and people. And then it was like me and Grub and M and Mercedes and like
and Aster
is the other person on our team. And so it's just like they had like all their engineers and artists and like all these people kind of, you know, million, and we're just like, it's just us, it's just little old us.
Sounds like such a fun time.
It was so fun.
That's the thing about Yuzeba's Bed and Breakfast is like we've been working on it for so long that like for every like headache month we've faced, we've also had a month where we just like had a lot of fun. And like it's just this thing that was just like the background noise of our life for, in my case, four years, right? When the book comes out in November, I started it November 1st, 2019, the pre-pandemic. If you can conceptualize what has changed in your life since November of 2019, right? And that throughout all of that, Yuzeba has just been trundling along in my world, kind of slowly steam.
It has been like, you know, a big headache at times, but at least the background is like silly and cute.
Yeah, yeah.
In recent weeks, Jamie has been at my house just like for really quick layout stuff. Mm-hmm. And like most of the questions that I have were like, oh, this is in the book because you thought it was funny. Most of the things in this text are jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. How seriously are we going to take this joke? Depends on how sleepy I am today.
Mm-hmm. It's a very goofy game. A lot of things in it are in jokes or started as like jokes of some kind. There's a lot of like little quips and like humorous little moments and like just like bits of various shapes and sizes, which I think like Wander Home is a very earnest game, but it's not very funny. Like you're not
really
chortling while reading Wander Home. Whereas Yuzeba's, I think, is a game that like
you're supposed to laugh.
You're supposed to laugh. They're supposed to, like when you encounter something that's like Hey Kids Safety Corner, which is like the safety tool section as written by a 10-year-old. And you're like,
in crayon.
In crayon. And you're like, this is goofy. It's like, yeah, it's goofy on purpose. It's like, this is a joke we're making. Like, everything in Yazeba's should be taken with a little bit of a grain of like, this is a humorous bit that we're doing. Like, we're finding this, you know, like we're taking the things that need to be taken seriously, but like, there's always like a little comedy moment kind of sprinkled throughout. Something even funny. Grubby would laugh sometimes when doing layout. That's, you don't understand how like how rare that is for Grubby to like laugh at a like a thing she's working, like to experience emotion regarding a thing she's working on as she's working on.
All I want in life is to be entertained, so I have very high standards.
I'm glad that it was at least occasionally entertaining while you tried to configure such a massive book.
Beat it into submission.
Shape it into its ideal form. And it's a huge book. It's like an enormous thing. With the benefit of hindsight, maybe it would have been correct to split it into two books, but I also...
It would have been less funny. Would have been less funny. We talked about this.
We did. We did talk about this. Yes, it would have been less funny and good. So ultimately, we made the call of what was the funniest thing we could do.
Make a funnier pitch book.
Yeah, we committed to the bit really hard with the whole thing, and we've made a monster, but that's sometimes what happens when you commit to the bit, is you just gotta be really funny the whole time. But it's nice to have made something, like again, like, I think Wanderhome and Yazeba's are gonna get conflated as, like, two cutesy games, which, like, sure, you know, that is true.
They are.
They are. But I think that, like, Wanderhome and Yazeba's tonally and emotionally are in very different places and like deal with seriousness. Like, they both have their serious moments in like very different ways. Whereas like Wanderhome is like coming in from the get-go, like, I got big feelings and I'm here to talk to you about them. And then Yazeba's is like, these are some characters who we're going to introduce you to, and then by the end of the book, ideally you will have fallen in love with them. And that's kind of the balance there.
Yeah, they're definitely very different games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we talked a little bit about it, but, like, okay, you've got the PDF out. You still need to get the book out. And I'm curious. I'm sorry, but I'm curious. Like,
okay.
You're okay.
I gotta know. This I must know.
Yeah. You know, if, by the end of the year, it'll be over with. It'll be done.
Yeah.
Year of Yazeba's. Yeah. It'll be over with even before then, probably. Yeah.
But from your experiences with, like, getting Wanderhome printed and fulfilled and reordered, like, what are you going to take from that and use in, like, this round with Yazeba's?
Something I am grateful for every day that we're doing for Yazeba's is we're printing instead of with our old printer, which imploded because the world is shit, like, a board game producing company is going to make it. Which is why we have, like, a box set and, like, we can include tokens and coins and a deck of cards and shit. And so they are going to handle all the things. So, like, Wanderhome was, like, me sourcing tokens myself or, like, embossing postcards and, you know, like, a billion little manufacturing problems. All of the manufacturing problems for Yazeba's are our dear friend Emma's problem now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yazeba's, I think... Look, I'm scared to say this because I think the answer is never it is simple, especially for something this large. So I don't want to be like, it's simpler, because it won't be, because I'm sure that something will come up that will make me pull all of my hair out at once and just turn into I'll pinch my own nose and pull up my pants until I just myself like a witch. With Wanderhome, we sourced, I think, like, ultimately, like 5 or 6 different manufacturers for different products. We had them all shipped to this one warehouse.
Oh my god, and then assembled by hand by...
assembled by hand to ship Wanderhome, this town, Gerlach, Nevada, basically, like...
It turned into a Wanderhome factory.
Yes, because literally, like, they called it, like, they were, like everyone in the town at one point, because it's such a small town, it's, like, 300 people. Everyone in that town at some point has worked for this shipping company. So they just, like, called up everyone who hadn't worked at the town in a while, and they like gathered them all in like out in the, like the center square of the town, and like there was a weekend of just intense everyone putting wander homes like in packages and like getting everything sorted together, and then they loaded them up all into a U-Haul and drove the U-Haul
drove it themselves to a place where you can mail things that big.
Yeah, so like obviously there were a lot of logistical hurdles at every step of that, where it's like I'm on the phone with AC, who's the office manager for Indie Press Revolution. AC is like, hey, so like, you know, like we're we couldn't find the right truck that could fit everything, so we're gonna like do it, like we're gonna put a bunch of stuff in Jason's car and like drive that along. And it's just like, and then Yazeba's ideally in an ideal world, if we're like, knock on wood 1,000 times
in the good world that we definitely live in,
it will look more like we manufacture everything, we have it freighted over to the United States, it gets brought all to a warehouse in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where a bunch of people who are paid, you know, like who are paid minimum wage, like
who are paid to do this specifically.
Do this, like, just as part of their workflow, and that it is just distributed to everyone in one big swoop.
God willing.
Like, that is what hopefully it will all look like, which is a lot less miserable. Like, the thing about Kickstarters is that every single time a small business does a Kickstarter, they're having to rebuild the manufacturing chain, right? Like, for Sleepaway, we did all this manufacturing stuff and then had to take it down, and then for Wander Home, rebuilt it all bigger and then had to, like, take it down again. And at this point, we do enough projects and we do enough things that we just always have a shipping company doing stuff, right? We always have our Shopify store open. We're always getting reprints done. So the manufacturing side of it, never, like, we don't have to like take it apart and put it back together again.
Yeah, it's always kind of in limbo.
Exactly. So ideally, Yazeba's is going to look like a continuation of business as usual instead of a brand new thing we have to build up specifically for this project. Which, again, God
willing. Fingers crossed.
Right. I'm sure that I'm going to get a call from Tony at like Christmas Eve, being like,
"Oh God,
I don't know," being like, "Hey, so it turns out that there's arsenic in the book."
Yeah.
Like something insane, right? I don't even know. God forbid, but you know.
Yeah.
I would think that having one touch point would be much easier this time. Even if something like, even if there's a problem, it's one touch point.
Yes. Yeah. There's a single chain and it'll be clear. And like, Yazeba's is 4 times as large and 4 times as complicated as Wander Home for sure. Is it larger than what Possum Creek has the resources to be doing? Yes. Is it 4 times as large as what we have the resources to be doing? No. That's so, like, there are a lot of ways where we did streamline and clarify and make the process much easier. That didn't help the fact that it was 4 times larger than Wander Home, right? So, like, there were certain things that were just much harder by virtue of the fact that this whole process is much harder, like much bigger. But it would have, like, if you took Wander Home and multiplied it by 4, you would have a much harder project than what Yazeba's turned out to be. Yazeba's is like Wander Home, but harder, but not like Wander. Like, we've learned enough lessons that it's not Wander Home, but 4 times harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I could talk to you guys for like several hours.
We love talking to you. We love hanging out with you.
I know. I'm like, oh. I feel like super excited that I got to talk to Jay and Krop again.
Yeah.
But I do need to wind this down. And so for the people that have like missed the Yazeba's train, where do they find it? Where do they go?
Where do they find it?
You can download Yazeba's online at onemoremultiverse.itch.io/Yazeba's. That is the place to find the digital edition. That will be where it always, it's everything gets there. You can also, if you pre-order the book at possumcreekgames.com, you can go in there and pre-order the book or the box set, and then you will also get Yuzeba's online when the book arrives. You'll get a little code there. It will be in many more places as the physical book comes out, but right now I say come visit us at, you know, on itch.io. It'll be there, or at Possibly Games.
And where can they find y'all?
Yeah, I am on Twitter, unfortunately, still at jdragsky, where I always am, and I'm in many other places besides under a similar handle.
She promised to give it up, but it just won't stick.
I gave it to you, and you don't look at it. You don't do anything with it, so I have to keep an eye on it now.
Yes. I'm on Twitter at RubyLavin. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and oh, we're on TikTok. We have an intern who makes those two demented TikToks a month. Go watch those. They're crazy. I love them dearly. Mail posts a lot about a lot of like thirst traps of Parrish the Frog Knight.
Great. And we're also on Patreon at patreon.com/. I always reference that. First off, because Patreon gets like marked down in the Twitter algorithm, so I plug it whenever I'm not on Twitter. But also because Creekside Community Center, which is our Patreon, is like a wonderful space that is really kind of a fantastic like thing for like as we're working on new things and putting new stuff out into the world, like that's where we're talking about it. And also the creative community that's formed around that is really cool. There's a lot of like fantastic designers and artists and stuff making stuff in Creekside Community Center and getting up to cool projects.
For $10 a year, you can at me any time of day for layout advice there.
That's an incredible power. You know, I don't even get that power.
No, she gets about 6 hours a day and then I start swearing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, I'll have links to everything in the show notes. Great. Like we've said, that you need to go get your Yuzeba's if you don't have it already and go play around in the dollhouse.
Yeah. Go hop.
At this point, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the interview, but we are, after, you know, I end this recording, going to start the next recording and do a fun little quick question blitz, which if this is your first time listening to the show, I get to talk to Jay and Grub for a little bit longer, and we're going to do some silly questions like, you know, what's your favorite condiment that only patrons get to hear? Be sure to check out RolePlayGrow on patreon.com if you want to listen to that and some fun bits from previous guests as well. But Jay, Grub, this is so good to have you all back on 2 years later.
Oh, this rules. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It feels like a beautiful circular thing to be back about it.
Professional writer voice.
A beautiful circular thing. Google Box comment, change later.
You just finished another episode of Role, Play, Grow. To check out the show notes and transcript from today's episode, you can go to lightheartadventures.com/RPG. To keep up with every episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice. And if you're enjoying the show, I would absolutely love if you would leave me a review and share this episode with your friends. Your review might even get featured on an upcoming episode. To follow me on Twitter, you can either find me at LightheartADV for our business account, or at KetraRPG for tweets on gaming, my dog Bowser, and other random shenanigans. You can also find me on Patreon at RolePlayGrow. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time on RolePlayGrow.